It is time for another edition of Ruth Epstein. And what's going on out there, Ruth? So what's going on out there, Ruth?
Well, other than cold, as I said, I didn't think there was much going on last week when I spoke to you, but as always, things happen. And so we do have a full slate for our listeners. We had the annual town meeting in Kent this past week, and one of the topics discussed, passed, was an ordinance about protecting the rights of farmers against nuisance complaints. Now, we already had a right to farming ordinance, but the conservation there was a couple of complaints lodged over the past couple of years about things going on at farms, and so the selectmen asked the Conservation Commission to look at that, and they came up with a revised ordinance, which is this protection against complaints. However, so it really is not very much different from what we already have, but it's a way of reinforcing the idea that farming is very important in Kent, and farmers should be given latitude and not have to worry about various complaints. So in effect, this does not give anyone an avenue to make a complaint. We'll see. It did pass. There were a few people in the audience who voted against it, saying it didn't. It sounded like the former ordinance. Why do we need it? But it did pass by the about 40 people who attended that night. Also at that meeting, they talked about the five-year capital plan. It was not approved, but it was discussed at length. There are various, as you know, all towns just about put out a capital plan in which they put money in each year towards big projects. So by the time the project is ready for to be done, the money is there, such as trucks for the Department of Public Works, or in this case, we have park and rec projects that need to be done, fire department trucks, and so that capital plan will be tweaked and looked at again and discussed before it is approved. Staying in Kent, we are losing our state trooper. He is moving on. Andrew Fisher has been here for many, many years. He's going into some other police work. We're not sure yet. We'll be talking to him. And so there will obviously be a search for a new resident trooper.
Who does that search? Or are they assigned? And is there money always in the budget in Kent for a resident trooper?
We've almost always had a resident trooper as long as I can remember. There was a hiatus a few years ago when the Board of Finance told the selectmen to cut, and there was some concern about the current trooper, and so the program was cut out for 2 years, or a couple of years, and it was reinstated after the private schools agreed to throw in some money towards it. The three private schools each gave $20,000 toward the trooper. That no longer, I don't think, exists. But so the town picks up the trooper costs, and you asked how it's chosen. The barracks puts out names. The selectmen are, as I understand it, are able to sit in on the interviews and give input, but the final decision rests with the officials and in this case, we work out of Truebell in Litchfield. That's where our resident trooper comes from. So there will be an interim, as far as I know, and then the process will begin, and we'll have a new resident state trooper.
Gotcha. Okay.
The landslide in Cornwall, that work has begun.
Landslide, not an election. Okay.
It's landslide. It's pretty.
Yes.
I mean, it's I was up there, and it is pretty steep, and the road is eroding, and that's up on Essex Hill Road, and at the Yield Industries from Goshen has been contracted to fix it, and I understand they started this week. There are several, Cornwall really got hit, as I've said in the past, by the floods and the water and saturated ground, and so.
All 13 of the Cornwalls? How many Cornwalls are there?
There are actually three, Cornwall Village, West Cornwall, and Cornwall Bridge.
Okay, like incorporated Cornwalls?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all part
of
it. So,
because in terms of unofficially, I do remember the first time I came up here in many years ago, being told by the realtor that, do you know how many Cornwalls there are? There are like 13 of them or something.
Yeah. Yeah, three. It's a little town with three post offices, three zip codes.
Pretty amazing.
Zip codes, yeah.
Okay, sorry.
That's all right. So,
carry on.
So there's also work being done on Furnace Brook on Popple Swamp Road that's overflowing its banks, and they're putting in boulders there. And then, of course, there's the big one on at Millbrook in the center of West Cornwall, and that has been... A retaining wall has to be all redone, and the road's going to be closed for a while. And but that's been put off because of these other, this other landslide project. But that's expected to be started, work on that hopefully by February or March. Last night, Monday night, the Planning and Zoning Commission in Cornwall held its meeting to talk. They do this annually, and they invite all the commissions and agencies to talk about how they have their goals towards the meeting the plan of conservation and development are going along. And so each agency reports on what it's done and what's to look ahead, and it's always been an interesting meeting, and it gives an idea of you know, how things are coming along in the town. These POCDs are quite important. They are mandated by the town, by the state, that each town do a new one each 10 years to give a look ahead as to what the goals and strategies for the town are, what's important, what's could be, you know, put off more. But Cornwall is the only town that really does this, looking at how the POCD is working. We had an interesting talk at the put on by the Kent Library this past weekend on Connecticut in the Movies, an author who is actually legendary, granddaughter of legendary actor Melvin Douglas, who was very popular back in his day. He's written this book, and it was a very interesting insight into how Connecticut is used as either filmed by, you know, movie companies or used as a backdrop. And even, of course, up here in this part of the woods, there have been movies made, but she talked about the different genres over the years and how in the early 50s and 60s it was looked at as, you know, these come to Connecticut, the high-powered executive wants to get away from it all, and they come to beautiful, serene Connecticut, and all is well. And then, of course, we get into the horror genre, which came later on, and as I said, Friday the 13th, Part 2, was mostly filmed here in Kent. So, and she went into that whole changes, and for those who are really movie buffs, you'd find this book very interesting. Concerts are being put on by the Sharon Library in partnership with Music Mountain and the new volunteer group at the library, Hotchkiss Library in Sharon, and on Sunday, they had a lovely concert by a quartet, and they will be with free concerts on Sunday afternoons, and they'll have one again in February and another in March.
Are they at the library?
They're at the library. Seating is limited.
Sure, they weren't on Music Mountain.
Yeah. No, they just...
Yesterday? Or whatever Sunday it was, I know that it wasn't here.
Yes.
So that's why I'm...
Right.
Okay.
So, no, it's at the library. Seating is limited, but it was full house. And it was a lovely way to spend an hour on a Sunday afternoon. And Oscar Ruiz, the director of Music Mountain, came in and played with them on a number. It was lovely. And, again, I would suggest if you love chamber music and want a nice Sunday concert to contact the Hotchkiss Library. And Kent, back to the car raffle is on for next year. We now have another car. This raffle goes on at the library all spring, summer, and fall, along with the book sale. And the new car is a Jeep Compass, a 2021. It's a beauty. It was brought out last Saturday at the annual meeting, and so tickets will be on sale shortly. And it's always very popular, and it's a big fundraiser for the library. Kanan, on last night, P&Z is continuing its talk on cannabis. As you know, the town passed an ordinance to allow the sale of recreational marijuana, and so the Planning and Zoning Commission has to grapple with how that's going to work. And February is the birthday of noted poet Robbie Burns, Scottish poet, and Cornwall always has done a celebration of his birthday. This year, Kent is doing one as well. Cornwall's is on the 26th, and Kent's, which is being is a little bigger, celebration is being put on by the Chamber of Commerce on the 27th. You know, it's the cutting of the haggis and the bagpipes and drinking of scotch, and it's quite the celebration. And so people can sign up and go to either one. And just quickly looking ahead, we're not that far from Jump Fest, the ski jumps at Salisbury, and that's coming up the weekend of February 2nd, and keep your eyes open. The human dog sled is February 2nd, I believe, and then the jumps are that following couple of days.
So I guess we're going to have to pray for cool and snow rather than warmth and wet.
Warm and mushy.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, although you have to say with dog sledding, mush, right?
That's true.
Anyway.
But somehow that group is incredible, and they make it work no matter what the weather is. Unbelievable.
They're absolutely amazing, and they have been amazing since the Haha Jump. So
yeah,
whatever and however they do it, they ought to bottle it and sell it, because if you need people to get something done, that would be your
absolutely. You're absolutely right. They are amazing, and I'm sure they're out there already prepping the hill and doing what have to do. It's an amazing group.
So that is 2 weekends, yes?
Yeah.
2 weekends from now. All right. Mm-hmm. Look how quickly things are moving.
Yeah. Yeah. We're halfway through January, more than halfway, and almost February. So
just one side note, and that is, you know, if I hear one more person if I hear one more person who doesn't know what a January thaw is, I cannot be responsible for my actions. And that said, John, as the poem goes, is that. Thank you so much, Ruth Epstein, Republican American, and Robin Hood Radio's woman on the go. Thank you.
Thank you.